Hey guys, and welcome to the second episode of the Minds Collide podcast. Oh, I hit my microphone there one second.
All good, bro. All good.
Hey guys, and welcome to the second episode of the Minds Collide podcast, hosted by me, CDTV Productions, and Blackie Speaks. How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling amazing, bro. Sensational.
Ready to talk about some more rap?
Yes, sir. 1000%, man. Man, let's talk about this. People are tired of 6ix9ine topic, bro. Do you think people are tired of 6ix9ine? I really think so.
I can say that I am. I think that applies to a lot of people, man. The 6ix9ine hype is just, it's dead, man.
It's gone, bro. Like, it's non-existent at the moment. It's like, we've gotten so much of him. I mean, we've gotten so much of the guy. It's like, we don't need more, bro. He's done so much.
Exactly. And it's just sad to look at this point. Like, if I mean, 6ix9ine has been quiet recently, but before this, like, just after he got out of jail, you know, between when he got out of prison and when he released his album, he was, like, trying to beef with everybody.
Man.
He was just, like, yeah. he was doing all the stuff that he would do before, but this time it was, like, no one even really cared, so he had to do things that were, like, more and more dangerous. He was exactly. Getting into beefs over dead people, like all this crazy stuff.
I mean, he was even doing the whole, you know, recording himself at the restaurant, right? He was sitting there eating with, you know, eating. I can put it on the screen right now, but he had like his money and, you know, he was talking about how, hey, and nobody can get to me. I'm sitting here chilling, doing whatever, right? Like pretty much I'm untouchable, right? And that was right after the whole Lil Durk thing. I'm pretty sure it was right after, you know, he disrespected his friend. Were they cousins? Nooski? I forgot if they were cousins.
I believe it was his cousin, yeah.
Yeah. So he passed away in, you know, Chicago. And obviously he even pulled up to the grave spot, man. Not the grave spot, I'm sorry. I mean the place where he got killed.
What do you think about that, man? Like, because there's a lot of people who... There's some people who would view that as entertainment. There's some people who would say it's beef, so there's like no limits. Would you say that was too far?
I mean, see, the thing is, man, when it comes to 6ix9ine, there's nothing that's too far. Like, the guy goes and goes and does whatever the hell he wants to do for the sake of attention, right? Like, that's, his career is built on that. On the other hand, it's like, we can look at it and say, hey, it's just entertainment, but at the end of the day, we're talking about real lives, bro.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I believe he's done this before, because wasn't it before he went to prison? I swear he said something about, I think it was Trippie Redd's brother passed away a while back. And
That was, you know, on Instagram, right?
Yeah, one of 6ix9ine's main promotion tactics is just basically playing around with the names of people who've died. And I don't know, some of the stuff he was doing before he went to prison was kind of entertaining, and I think that's what, you know, the controversy actually drew people to him at that point. But recently, people have just been caring less and less, and at this point, it looks more desperate than ever.
Absolutely,
it just looks so desperate.
Bro, it's like, we've seen everything. Like, what have we not seen? By the way, have you, the King Von stuff, have you seen that?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
We're gonna put the comment on the screen right now, but King Von passed away. I think it was an academic's Instagram, actually. He said something, I forgot what it was, but pretty much like literally hours after the guy was pronounced dead, bruh. You know, and it's like, what, like, is it not enough?
I don't even know what his plan was with that whole thing, because A, that's just like straight up disrespectful.
1000%.
And B, it's like,
on the other hand, I do want to add this too, bro. You know, King Von has obviously, he's dissed a bunch of, you know, dead people himself in his records.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
You know, he's done that, right? And obviously, no disrespect to King Von. Obviously, God rest his soul. But I'm saying, a lot of people are looking at it and, you know, when people say, hey, 6ix9ine did it, it's cool, right? Because King Von did it. So I can somewhat see that. Exactly. It's the, I guess, the same energy you put out is the same energy you get back. But on the other hand, I don't know, something about, because we all know what 6ix9ine is all about, right? So for him, he most likely didn't do it because, you know, King Von did it. He just wanted to be disrespectful. That's all.
Exactly. To him, it was just disrespect for clout. There's also like, why would you want to play around with something like that? Like, I understand that 6ix9ine probably, I mean, he'd be dumb if he didn't have good security, right?
Oh, yeah.
Considering who he is. He's probably got, like, excellent security.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he pays, like, millions for security, man. Like, he rolls with some, I mean, he has heavy security, bro.
I can see why, because he needs it. Like, it's like, why would you even risk playing around with this stuff just for barely any clout, to be honest? Because at this point, no matter what 6ix9ine does, like, people just don't care. You know, after his album flopped, he's been real quiet ever since then. The only things he's really done is he got a new tattoo. I saw that on Academic's Instagram page.
What kind of tattoo?
He got one on his chest, like some colorful tattoo. He's growing a beard now. He looks down bad.
Oh, okay.
He did that, and then there was the King Von stuff. But like, other than that, what else has he done recently that's noteworthy?
Honestly, man, like I can't really see that. This is the issue with, you know, I guess like the quote unquote issue, right? Like, he thrives off of controversy, right? And I mean, that's his thing, bro. Right? That's 6ix9ine in a nutshell. Like, he's been, you know, operating this way ever since he got in the game. So at the end of the day, what can we really say? Like, we can say that it's wrong, he's clout chasing. Yeah, he probably knows that himself. You know, it's one of those things where he knows what he's doing, of course, obviously, and he thrives off of it. And there's no end to the madness. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, now he's not even really thriving off of it. It's just...
that makes sense.
Because people are caring less and less. He's just... He's trying to cling on to the relevancy, but he keeps slipping, man. He keeps slipping.
Of course. And I think it's because people are tired of it. And we've seen everything we can see. That is the thing.
Interestingly, like, I think there's definitely... You could make the point that we're talking about him right now, right? But... I mean, the reason we're talking about him is, it's not like we're listening to the music or anything. We're just saying, man, like,
we're talking about the antics.
This is what we talk about. We talk about hip hop, and yeah, we're talking about the antics and how they're less effective. I mean, there is something to talk about there, but it's not like it's something we really care about all that much outside of the podcast in our day-to-day life. We're not thinking like, what is 6ix9ine doing right now, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's just a position. Like, he's... Again, like, he's literally been operating this way since he got in the game. So this is him in a nutshell. This is all he knows, bro. And again, like, it's not going to stop, right? You know, obviously, I was going to say if someone he was beefing with in the past, you know, passed away, I don't even want to put that energy out in the air. But I'm just saying, if something happened to someone he disliked, like, he would be on Instagram right now, you know, talking about F this guy.
Exactly.
So
100%. There's no limits.
Yeah, there's no limits, bro. He did it to King Von hours after he passed away, bro. Like, hours. We're not talking a day or two. We're talking hours. I don't know, man. Something about that kind of like rubs me the wrong way, man. This is someone's father, bro. Son. And it's like, he's, to me, it's on a personal level, it's too much.
Yeah. And it's like, even if he did it, you don't have to do it to him. I don't know. It's disrespectful on both ends.
Really,
that's,
man.
That's
truly.
How you put it, yeah.
And I actually feel like that was the nail in the coffin. Like, I even saw people who, you know, people who were 6ix9ine fans saying like, okay, like, you don't have to do that. Hours after he passes away? Hours? Really? Because we hadn't heard from him in like 3 weeks. Before that,
I actually just Googled his name to see if he's been up to anything recently that I haven't heard about. Did you know they're making a 6ix9ine documentary on Hulu?
What? Really? And he's going to be involved in it? Like,
I think so. It's apparently, according to this, it's titled 6ix9ine, not spelt like his actual name is. They've just wrote 69.
Yeah.
The Saga of Danny Hernandez.
I will be watching that. And I will drop a review on it when it drops, for sure. I mean,
hell yeah.
I'm going to work. Okay. See, this is the thing too. Another thing, bro. Whenever that drops, we're all going to watch it. Mm. You're going to watch it. You know, anyone who's listening to this who despise 6ix9ine, they're gonna watch it, right?
So do you think that means maybe we're a little bit wrong about this conversation saying that no one cares anymore?
That's
or would you say we're still correct in saying it? Because people are going to watch the documentary and then they're going to continue to not give a shit afterwards.
I mean, see, the thing is, you know, the documentary is a moment, right?
Yeah.
It is a huge moment. If an X documentary dropped right now, X has nothing to do with this conversation, just using him as an example. But I'm just saying, we would all watch it, right? And I think I'm pretty sure there's something in the works, I guess. I've heard it, I've seen it, but anyway, I'm saying it's a moment, right? It's something people are going to watch and people can be tired of it. And when we're having this conversation, man, we are looking at this from an artist standpoint, right? Because the entertainer 6ix9ine is always going to be thriving. He's always going to be doing something, but we're looking at this from, you know, from like an artist standpoint. Like, you get what I'm saying? Or how do you feel about that?
I mean, I guess they kind of go hand in hand, but no matter what, nothing that he does now is going to get me interested in his music again.
I get that. I feel that.
And I was just reading on the article here. I'm looking at an article on Complex about the 6ix9ine documentary.
Yeah.
And it says, so the director gets up close and personal with the neighborhood locals who knew 6ix9ine when he was still just Danny Hernandez.
Okay.
To chronicle his meteoric rise and fall from fame and probe the harsh extremes of addiction to fame in the digital era. So it sounds like it's actually going to be a documentary that's more critical of what he's doing. Not something that he's necessarily involved with. It's not going to idolize him. It's about his rise and his fall. So kind of what we're talking about here.
So it's pretty much like an objective look into 6ix9ine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's actually going to make people more interested because now he doesn't, if it's that, I mean, he probably, I guess, green-lighted that, right? Most likely. He wants it, right?
Maybe that's why it's not his name in the title of the documentary. Maybe he hasn't green-lighted it because literally they've just put the number 6ix9ine. They haven't put his name 6ix9ine.
Okay, I mean,
It's something that he hasn't signed off on, but they're, you know.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, if he doesn't have his hand in it, it can't be biased towards him or against him. It's just going to be an objective look. That's what it is.
To kind of sum it up from what we've talked about, you could say that like there's still an element of interest there around 6ix9ine, but people care significantly less than they used to.
Absolutely,
maybe it's not fair to say nobody cares about him now, but it's definitely significantly less. And even if people care about this documentary or care about some of the clout stuff that he's doing, no matter what, I can still see his sales just declining. In terms of the music sales, I don't see that getting any better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you, man. And this is a topic that's going to come up and up all the time, right? Because we're talking about 6ix9ine and he's going to do something again, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that. So again, there's no end to the madness. But bro, speaking of 6ix9ine, what do you think about Lil Pump? I was going to say Lil Pump actually, but Lil Pimp.
Oh yeah, Little Pimp. You got to pronounce the little.
I forgot. Little Pimp, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been in the headlines and very relevant to, you know, the way 6ix9ine operates.
Exactly. This kind of almost goes hand in hand with that whole 6ix9ine conversation. With Lil Pump, man, I mean, for anyone watching this who doesn't know, basically, I'm sure you will know, but Lil Pump's most recent antic is basically that he's been, I'm assuming, pretending to support Donald Trump just for the fact that it's kind of like it's got like shock factor around it, right? Like, what the
absolutely,
hell, Lil Pump is supporting I mean, the
elections,
Donald Trump?
Yeah, like the elections, you know, and everything. So
yeah, and basically he was doing that for some clout. So how do you feel about this situation, man?
Oh man, I mean, to me it was very clear from the get-go what he was really doing, right? You know, again, like the elections and this very convenient moment to chip in. It's just an easy kind of like grab, and hey, I made like 2 videos on it, so there we go. And I'm pretty sure XXL, you know, posted like multiple articles, other blogs, you know, academics obviously posted it multiple times. So it worked. It worked. I mean, we all talked about it. It was a big moment. He went on stage and
Lil Pimp introduced as Lil Pimp.
Yep, exactly. But see, the thing is, that moment is kind of like gone now.
Yeah. And the thing is, now that it's after the fact, I mean, even at the time, you could tell like this is such a short-term burst of attention that is going to completely die once the election's done. And at the end of it, Lil Pump's just going to be left worse off.
Of course,
because
yeah.
I have seen some people say that there was actually a lot of Donald Trump supporters who were kind of like, purely because Donald Trump endorsed Lil Pump in a sense,
I
they were like,
that.
Oh, I'm going to go listen to this guy's music. And just that image in my head is really funny. Trump supporter going home from the election and bumping boss.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, like, okay, maybe he got a temporary boost in streams for that, but looking back at it, he just looks like an absolute clown in that situation, especially when, at the time, the president of the United States introduces you by the wrong name.
Exactly. And actually, you know, some people said that he didn't know his name, which I actually believe. Like,
I believe that. Yeah.
I just feel like he was so oblivious to it. And he probably thought the, you know, he said little. So he was thinking, you know, hey, it's really little. It's not little.
So yeah, man, I tweeted out about this at the time. And I was just, I said, the short term clout that Lil Pump is getting from what he's doing is not worth it.
Exactly. And yeah.
That sums up how I feel about this situation. It's like he's fallen so far that this seemed like the only opportunity. I mean, in theory, it's a big opportunity using the election to promote your music.
It's a very convenient. It's a very convenient thing to do, right?
And in theory, that should be a good thing. Getting endorsed by the current president of the United States.
Yeah, for sure. Again, this is just it's controversy. That's all it is. Yeah. Because you know the tension is you know was so high leading up to it. Everyone was talking about it, man.
That's exactly. What I'm thinking, like in theory, it's a good idea, but literally just looking at it and seeing it all happen, it just seems really sad, honestly. And it kind of makes me feel bad for Lil Pump in a way.
1000%, man, because this is, yeah, I was just going to say that this is kind of like the prison he's in, right? It's kind of like the whole 6ix9ine thing where, you know, you have to keep on doing things to stay relevant. And man, I mean, that's on a serious note, man, like that has to really, that's a bad place to be in, right? Because the way I see it is you have to go out of your way to, you know, be in front of the camera 24/7. And if you don't, the buzz is just going to get so low to the point where people aren't really going to talk about you. And that this is a way for you to promote your music.
And you know what's funny, man? You know what's funny about this situation?
Yeah, what?
It just once again proves what you refer to as the 1985 effect.
Hey, this is the 1980. I've been saying it, man. It's kind of going viral at the moment, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
People been using it on Twitter and social media, on Instagram and stuff like that. So obviously I don't even have to say who, you know what I'm saying, who invented the term. But this is what the 1985 effect is, man. You know, you have to keep on doing things 24/7. Always. If you don't, you're gonna become a has-been, right? And see, the thing is, it's not necessarily that nobody's going to talk about you, but the contrast between the peaks of relevancy you get is going to be so much, you know, the contrast is just going to be bigger and bigger because you have to keep on doing things.
It can even make it easier for people to exploit that because, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, like we said before, you know, Trump probably doesn't even know who Lil Pump is.
Exactly.
It was just on his end, that was a tactic to get, I guess, more young people invested in voting for him.
Yep, for sure.
And because of the situation Lil Pump is in, with most people considering him as fallen, as, you know, someone that fell off, it's easy to kind of exploit that situation and be like, okay, this is a rapper that's gonna, you know, support me and he's gonna do this.
And see, the thing is too, we gotta keep in mind that, you know, this has really nothing to do with the whole Trump thing. This is bigger, this is like Lil Pump's career, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this little, you know, Trump thing, right? Him, you know, co-signing him or whatever, it's really signifies, I guess, you know, tells us a different story about where he's at. That's all, right? And I don't think it ain't even about his political views at the moment. I'm literally just talking about the fact that he has to keep on doing things like this. And he's going to do something else that we're all going to talk about. But that's going to really put him in that 1985 effect box.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, I think this is a situation that's, it's just going to end up getting him more hate than relevancy, I feel like. But speaking about rappers getting hate, there was something else I wanted to bring up, and that is the general hate that surrounds Nav's name. He dropped an album recently.
I just want to say, I like Nav.
Okay.
I think people give him way too much hate for no reason. Happens to a lot of rappers, but I feel like a lot of people are picking on Nav. I don't know why, but hey, keep going about the, you were going to talk about the album?
For sure, yeah. So he dropped the album recently, and to give anyone that, you know, doesn't watch my videos or hasn't watched my videos about Nav some perspective, like, my opinion on his music is that I could see why people would dislike it, and I think there is a lot of things to criticize there. But he's someone that I would label as a sort of guilty pleasure artist for me. You know,
see,
like...
See, the thing is, I don't even want to say that it shouldn't really even be like a guilty pleasure. I feel like fans, hip-hop fans, have kind of fooled us, right? Mm-hmm. To feel that way. Because at the end of the day, why should it be a guilty pleasure? Like, Nav has, right? He has bangers. Nav has great songs. And a lot of the amazing songs he has, like, I think it's called Simple Again, right? He dropped in 2016. Okay. I think it's 2016 or 2015, but a lot of his SoundCloud bangers. Songs, yes, yeah. Man.
See, the thing for me is, I think... Maybe I do use the term guilty pleasure just because I know of the general hate around Nav, but I think for me it's more like, I listen to his music, and like I said, I can see where the criticisms are, and sometimes I just listen to his music because there's certain songs that have that sort of so bad that they're good vibe to them, but then there's also songs from him that I do genuinely enjoy. So yeah. When I say guilty pleasure, I sort of mean it in the way that he's never going to be one of my favorite artists, but yeah. I do listen to quite a lot of music from him.
I see what you're saying. By the way, the song is called Take Me Simple, Not Simple Again. For anyone who wants to listen to it, it's amazing. Such a banger. But what you were saying, I get where you were coming from, but I just wanted to add that because, you know, we should never feel like, you know, an artist is guilty pleasure. And a lot of people have that. I used to actually have that regarding Comethazine. I used to think,
okay.
I don't want to tell people that I listen to Comethazine because, you know, people see him as, you know, the quote unquote mumble rapper, even though his, you know, just some of his older songs are kind of like mumbly, but I'm saying his newer stuff is not. Okay.
Oh, definitely yeah. This is pretty far from it.
Absolutely. But I'm saying I'm more kind of like talking about the whole perception people have of these artists, right? We feel like sometimes we feel like, oh, I shouldn't listen to this, and this is people fooling us, right? And people stopping us from listening to it from because of what they think about it.
And I think that does enhance like that kind of, you know, over hating of an artist.
Absolutely,
you know,
with yeah.
someone like Nav, it's kind of like, okay, the general consensus around him is that he isn't that good. So when he drops something, people are going to be inclined to dislike it. And like I've said before, I've criticized Nav's music a lot. So I'm not saying that I love him. You know,
course,
I do
yeah.
criticize his music pretty heavily, but I don't think it's because I overhate him. I think I could explain why that is. You know, I can explain what I like about his music and what I don't like. Yeah. I feel like when an artist is overhated, it's just people jumping on a hate train and saying that they dislike them without even really being able to explain why or without giving their music a chance.
Exactly. That's the key word, man. Like, hate train. It's a hate train, man. And I think it's better to be able to vocalize why you don't like it.
Because exactly.
A lot of people can't even admit the fact that Nav got bangers. A lot of great songs.
Even on this newest project that he dropped, Emergency Tsunami, he dropped that last week.
Haven't listened
honestly,
to it yet.
Honestly, yeah, you should check it out, man, because as someone, you know, who has Nav as their quote-unquote guilty pleasure artist, I thought it was a relatively enjoyable album. There's some bangers on there, man. You should listen to the track with Lil Baby, Don't Need Friends. I think you would like that one.
Yeah, of course, for sure. Definitely, we'll do that. Speaking of Lil Baby, by the way, what do you think about the whole overrated conversation?
So if we want to talk about Lil Baby as a rapper, I think that's an interesting one, man, because
you know, I know that, just want to make it very clear that I like Lil Baby. Like, I'm a big fan of him, but you kind of have like a different take on his music.
Absolutely, man. I mean, when it comes to the year he's been having, Lil Baby's been having a great year. I think that's undeniable.
Yep.
But if we're talking real quick before we get into that about, you know, how I feel about his music, it's safe to say I'm not the biggest Lil Baby fan.
How is that possible, man? Lil Baby goes so damn hard. Come on, man.
I don't know, man. There's certain elements of his music. I mean, I'm going to make a full video about this on my channel. You know, the worst rappers in the game series.
Oh, no. You can't do that to Lil Baby, man. You can't do that to Lil Baby.
It's worst rappers in the game, question mark, okay? You know, it's free reign. It's free reign to do it on anyone when you throw that question mark in there.
I get that. Okay.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah, but just to make that clear, you know, there's going to be some viewers here that are just here from your channel. So if anyone hasn't watched my channel, just real quick, that series isn't saying that these rappers are the worst in the game. It's more just like a sort of an interesting title for a series where I review mainstream rappers. It's a conversation. Rappers. Yeah.
Just a conversation. Exactly. Yeah, you're not hating on the artist.
Exactly. Although with that being said, the one on Lil Baby, it's going to be more in the direction of that I'm not a fan of his music. And there's a few reasons for that. I think one thing is just that his voice isn't really that appealing to me. I think it sounds, I don't know how to describe it, but it sounds a bit like thin almost.
Thin? How do you mean? Are you talking like, about
I feel like he doesn't have a strong vocal presence on a lot of tracks.
I can for sure agree with that. I know exactly, when you say that, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when I think about Lil Baby, man, like his voice is the last thing I'm thinking about, right? Mm. Like he doesn't have an outstanding, like I think Lil Baby really knows how to, like, he, number one, his beat selection is insane, right?
That's interesting, and because that's another thing that I would say I'm not the biggest fan of, interestingly.
Really?
Yeah, because for me, I feel like I've listened to a few Lil Baby projects, and I definitely will say that I think My Turn is probably maybe his best in terms of production, but I feel like he sort of picks very standard trap beats, like exactly what you would expect.
I mean, that's true, but I also think that we got to keep in mind that Lil Baby is a, you know, trap artist, right?
And, that's true.
You know, he's not going to be rapping on some J. Cole Kendrick type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
It's not necessarily that I expect him to be rapping over, like you said, the sort of J. Cole Kendrick stuff. But if I compare him to someone that he's heavily associated with, like Gunna, for example, is a rapper that is, again, a like kind of trap rapper, but I think he has amazing production. I think Gunna's production is great. Cause
no, I agree with that.
I feel like there's a bit more melody to his production. There's a bigger, I mean, Gunna's typically known for going over the guitar, right? But there's a bigger variety of instruments in a sense. Whereas I feel like Lil Baby, you know exactly what to expect.
I actually think Lil Baby is a better artist than Gunna. So I think the instrumentals Gunna raps on overpower, you know, him as an artist. So me personally, when I listen to Gunna, I'm more interested in, the last thing I'm interested in is what Gunna is going to say. Right? And Lil Baby, I feel like Lil Baby now, he's gotten to the point where, in my opinion at least, you know, I don't want to say solidified, he hasn't been in the game, you know, even 5 years, right? Yeah. All I'm saying is he's getting to a point where people want to hear Lil Baby. And it is for a reason, right?
For sure. And I think that's an important thing that, I'm keeping in consideration as well. Like, Lil Baby hasn't been doing this for that long. So even though I'm not a fan of him at the moment, he has plenty of time to improve. But I definitely like this conversation because I feel like me and you are sort of on opposite ends of this one.
Exactly. And
because for me personally, I'd say that Wanna was a better album than My Turn.
Really?
Yeah, I preferred Wanna. To me, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think Gunna has improved more in 2020 than Lil Baby has. I think Lil Baby's more consistent. I think, but I don't think he's changed much how he does things since 2019, 2018. See, and thing for is, people I th- that like him, I, you can I say think, that's a good thing.
I think Lil Baby's going to be running, I mean, I think he's running laps around Gunna already, in my opinion, man. 1,000%. Like, I don't even think they're close, if you ask me. Genuinely, don't even think they're close. I think, man, Lil Baby, to me at least, like, I genuinely think he's set himself apart from a lot of people. You know, he's just on a different level now, man. You know, I'm not even talking about the fame aspect, the status. I just think he's really in his element, right? And obviously, like, you don't get that feeling.
I could see the argument for that. I will say something that I think Lil Baby is better at. Like, Lil Baby's definitely a better songwriter than Gunna, I feel like.
Okay.
You know, he's definitely more, he's a more lyrical artist, a bit more real, if you want to call it that. So he's definitely better in that perspective. It's just, so I'm not necessarily saying Gunna is better at being a rapper, but I would rather listen to Gunna's music at this point, or at least I would rather listen to one of them My Turn.
I see that.
Again, a lot of that is because of the production, but I don't know. With Lil Baby, I just feel like there's something missing. I feel like there's more he could be doing, because even with My Turn, I don't think it's an awful album. I just think it's the first half probably has the best songs, and almost the entire second half for me is just unnecessary.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, the first half you've got Get Ugly, that's pretty good. Heating Up,
Whoa is
Commercial,
amazing.
Live Off My Closet. Live Off My Closet is a banger. I love that song.
Fire.
I think Fire. He flows perfectly over that one.
Yep.
And that's one of the things about Lil
Emotionally
Baby.
Scarred Too, man. Commercial. I mean, Something to Prove is actually on, I think it's on the second, actually not.
Yeah, that one's on the second half, I believe. I think that's track 13. That's the thing. I feel like Lil Baby does flow really nicely sometimes. He does make some pretty good songs, I guess, but maybe for me, it's mainly just a voice issue, because a lot of the time, even when I listen to songs and I think, wow, Baby killed that, I sort of think to myself, but I would enjoy that even more if his voice wasn't the way it is. And obviously that's something he can't change. It's just not for me personally.
I think we really have to give him a little bit of time, man. Right. Because see, the thing is his glow up is insane. Like
true.
Like where he was in January, man, where he is right now, 11 months later, that is a huge contrast. And I think
that's true.
And I think that only shows us, you know, kind of like, should tell us where he's going to be going, because I mean, he's headed in a good direction, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubts that in terms of popularity, he's definitely just going to keep going up. He's
Absolutely.
Definitely just going to keep going up. But when it comes to the music, I'm not sold.
Genuinely, I think he's really going to improve. I feel like you're probably going to change your mind, man. 1,000%.
We'll see, man. We'll see. There's an opportunity for that there, because I will mention that I love the bigger picture.
I think who doesn't love that? Like,
exactly, yeah.
You're crazy if you don't like that song.
Yeah. In terms of the sound, it was pretty consistent with what you'd get from any other Lil Baby song, with the production, the flows, but the writing on it was really nice. And what he was talking about, obviously, very relevant topic, and
Absolutely.
He touched on it like pretty perfectly.
1,000%,
so,
yep.
Yeah, he definitely has that potential, I think. I think, who knows, maybe a year or two from now, I'll be able to look back and, you know, talk differently about this conversation, but that's something we're just going to have to wait and see, man.
Man, I'm going to bully you into loving Lil Baby.
We'll see how it goes. I will say as well that he does have some great features. He's one of those rappers that I'd prefer to hear as a feature than on his own music.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. I think he's killed some feature verses, but in terms of his own music, man, that's something I got to come around on. And let's see if you bully me, you know, if that works, if that gets me into his music.
That is my number one mission before 2020 ends, okay? You're going to bump Lil Baby so much to the point where you're gonna like his music. I'm a big fan of Lil Baby. I think he's amazing, but obviously he's not for everybody.
Absolutely, man. So to kind of round that up, would you say that he's been the 2020 MVP so far when it comes
Absolutely,
to rap?
Absolutely, 1,000%, man. No question. If you ask me, no question, man.
Okay.
I think the accolades speak for themselves. You know, I think just, man, he's on a great path, and he has the amount of contrast between where he was in January and now. It's like, man, you have to give him something for that.
That's fair. In terms of the success, 100%, I can, you know, show props for that, because it's undeniable. He's had like a meteoric year.
Yeah. I mean, the graph kind of went, you know, it was down and then like, boom, right? Not down as in he wasn't doing good, but I'm saying it really spiked, right? Especially after My Turn dropped. I mean, after that came out of nowhere, man, boom, everybody really started messing with him. And I think, again, it just tells us what he's capable of, where he can go, the amount of levels he's going to be able to reach in the future. And I think you're going to come around to him.
We will see, man. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. 1,000%,
but hey,
man.
In the meantime, I'm going to be working on that Worst Rappers in the Game episode. And we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Maybe you'll have changed my mind before that comes out. We'll see.